From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. And on this day, members of the 129th Maine Legislature were sworn in today. A federal judge says he expects to rule by next week on Maine Republican Representative Bruce Poliquin's bid to nullify the outcome of the ranked choice voting election, which he apparently lost. That's ahead in a moment.
MaineGardens.org. 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 MaineGardens.org.
Using procedures that date back to the state's very first legislature, Maine lawmakers took the oath of office and got down to business at the State House. Democrats, Republicans, and independents all used the session to talk about working together, but as Mal Leary reports, some fundamental political differences could make that goal very difficult.
Democrats, who are firmly in control of both the House and Senate, elected Freeport Representative Sarah Gideon as Speaker and Allegash Senator Troy Jackson as President of the Senate. Jackson urged colleagues on both sides of the aisle to come together to solve the state's problems.
My challenge to all of us here today is not let what makes this Senate chamber so strong become its greatest weakness. The diversity of our backgrounds and identities is exactly what's called for in these days.
And Speaker Gideon echoed calls for civil discourse to settle problems. She says there are plenty of issues on which both parties can reach agreement.
Modern infrastructure, lower health care costs, educating our kids, taking care of seniors, growing opportunities for families and businesses.
Republican leaders say that reaching compromise on issues can be done, but that the details will matter. Representative Kathleen Dillingham, a Republican from Oxford, is the House Minority Leader.
We just may have differences on how to get there. But we can have those conversations and speak to issues and without the personal attacks.
Republican Senator Dana Dow of Newcastle, the Senate Minority Leader, says civility is fine, but that does not mean Republicans will give up on core principles. Dow says there is little, if any, GOP support for new or higher taxes, even for such important issues as health care, education, and improving the state's infrastructure.
There's plenty of money out there. We don't need to increase taxes to bring in even more. There's enough money to go around. You've got to whittle down the Christmas wish list to reality.
State revenues have been reprojected upward by over $300 million, and Dow says the state will need to set its priorities in the months ahead to stay within existing resources. Lawmakers will go into session on January 2nd, and in February will receive Governor Janet Mills' proposals for spending. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A federal judge in Bangor heard arguments today in a lawsuit challenging Maine's ranked choice voting law. The suit was brought by Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin, the apparent loser of the nation's first ever congressional contest decided by ranked choice voting's runoff method. Poliquin's attorneys are asking the judge to either invalidate that runoff and declare him the winner over Democrat Jared Golden, or to order a new election. Steve Missler reports.
The oral arguments at U.S. District Court were dense, technical, and centered on whether Maine's ranked choice law disenfranchises voters. Poliquin's attorneys say that it does, and they've made an array of claims asserting that the system is unconstitutional. They argue that a system that allows voters to rank candidates in order of preference actually prevents them from voting strategically because they don't know on election day which candidates will advance to the runoff. But Assistant Attorney General Phyllis Gardner, who was representing the Maine Secretary of State in the lawsuit, countered in court that the purpose of ranked choice is not to see whether voters can guess correctly, it's to allow voters to fully express their preferences. Audio recording was not permitted during Wednesday's hearing. But Peter Brann, an attorney for Congressman-elect Jared Golden, said afterwards that Gardner's argument was correct. He says while there is a difference between a ranked choice runoff and a runoff held anew on a different day, neither system infringes on voters' rights.
I thought her response absolutely nailed it. There may be a distinction, but it's not one that matters from the purposes of the Constitution. They're all permitted.
Poliquin's attorneys used an expert witness in hopes of persuading Judge Lance Walker that ranked choice does in fact disenfranchise voters. His name is James Gimple, a professor of government at the University of Maryland. Gimple, who disclosed in court records that he's being paid $300 an hour by Poliquin's legal team, at one point thundered from the witness stand that ranked choice forces voters to cluelessly cast their ballots. It's unclear if his testimony was persuasive. Judge Walker gave both sides a wide berth to make their case and repeatedly overruled objections by Golden's attorneys that Gimple's testimony was wildly speculative, based on neither research nor anecdote. After the hearing, Lee Goodman, Poliquin's lead attorney, would not say if he thought Walker would rule his way.
I believe that Judge Walker heard all sides, is giving all sides a fair hearing, and is trying to do the best he can with some very weighty and difficult legal issues.
Goodman has previously suggested that he'll appeal a decision if Walker rules against him. He steered clear of that promise on Wednesday. Either way, the case could have significant ramifications for Maine's ranked choice voting law. If Walker rules against Poliquin, it could validate a system that national advocates hope to implement in other states. Walker said he expects to make his decision by next week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. Thanks to Jennifer Mitchell, Susan Sharon, Keith Shortall, and our digital team, I'm Ed Morin.